Today is the feast of Saints Maurus and Placidus, but the readings will be taken from the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle is appointed to be read today for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and throughout all, and in us all, who is blessed forever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathering together, Jesus questioned them, saying, "What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?" When they said to him, "David's." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool'? If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he then his son?" And no one could answer him a word, neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning after Mass, there will be a baptism. However, with the regular preparations that we will go through, it will not be hindered by that in any way. In today's bulletin, the bulletin schedule for today is the listing of all of those who have presented themselves to be confirmed on the last Sunday of October, which is October the 26th, and the Feast of Christ the King. If there's any mistake in that listing, anyone left out by mistake or whatever, please notify me immediately. Or if there's someone or anyone who, for whatever reason, even though the name is printed and has made an original, a previous or prior request, has decided not to go through confirmation, also please notify me immediately. And please try to be in Kaufman on that day a few minutes early, so that there be probably some few things that need to be said, instructions to be given, so try to be there a little bit early. The All Souls Day envelopes are available. Please try to get them to me one way or another before the 1st of November. Of course, we will be coming down here very close to the first day of November, so that might be sufficient. I remind you that this month is the month of the Holy Rosary, and therefore I encourage you to please try to be devoted to the Holy Rosary in a very special way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind. And the same parable goes on to say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, to speak in this particular category, in the same, at the same time, with the first part of that direction, as to loving of thy neighbor, that requires certainly a time all unto itself, especially that we here are living in an age where it isn't love that we're dealing with, but we're living rather in an age of hate. And so we must try to adjust ourselves accordingly, so we will not exactly speak of that this morning. But this morning, I wish to confine our thoughts to the instruction that we must love God with our whole hearts and our whole minds and whole souls. This seems and sounds easy enough. And it sounds good enough. But just what do we mean by that? And how far do we allow this to affect our way of life? The fact that we say that we love God with our whole heart and mind and soul, do we by some chance think that we fulfill that request simply by adding another prayer or two to our regular list of praying? And how constant, by the way, is that love? Is it on again or off again? Is that love constant and persevering? Or do we turn it on sometimes when we find that it is convenient for us to turn it on for some reason or other? What do we mean? How is it that the love of God affects us? Perhaps I can give you one example of how we can go and speak of the love of God and speak of the things that the love of God demands of us, and yet our lives are not in any way, shape, or form changed. First of all, that which we call love has to be sincere. It has to be interior. There has to be a commitment. It has to flow, and it has to affect literally everything we do. This does not mean, of course, as we can understand, that we have to form our lives according to the way lives are formed in monasteries and convents. We know that. Or does this love manifest itself simply by us arguing this point or that point or the other point or the next point? You know, like a specialist would argue about fine points that mean nothing. I give you an example of something that happened to me only in the last day or two, of a certain very wonderful person indeed. Truly a Christian, truly a Catholic person. I have no particular problems with this individual, but I do think that what this person said to me is significant of perhaps the way many of us operate. The subject came up about what's on television. And I think everybody is in full agreement that practically everything that comes on television today is something that should be avoided. Something that is ugly, something that is sinful, something that is just simply not right. And so this person was very much complaining about, I just simply cannot look at television without something ugly coming on to be looked at. But the interesting point is this, that while this dear lady, and was a lady, from another city way away, while this lady was complaining about the dirt and the filth that's going on television, was having an improved antenna put in so that she could receive or have better reception on TV. Does that make sense? If I have complaints about my TV, instead of improving the reception, I should throw it out. But it takes guts to throw it out, doesn't it? And this goes on with us, not only in the case of the question of TV or television, but in a lot of the ways that we conduct our lives. And we find ourselves many times, as this lady was doing, pointing in the direction of the ugliness of TV, so that you don't look in this direction as she is having it repaired for greater reception. And we find ourselves doing that in life so much. My beloved people, this goes with modesty. This goes with gluttony. You know, many people complain, I eat too much. I'm definitely guilty of gluttony. But to see them shop on Saturday afternoons or whenever they shop, and the grocery carts are literally heaped up mountain high with every kind of goodie imaginable, that person is not doing it right. If I am trying to keep my gluttony in control, the best way to do it is not to have stuff in the house that will cause me to indulge in what I'm about, what I want to do, what I want to please myself with. And it goes on and on and on and on. It goes with drink, goes with anything you can think of. When we love God, it means that we have to be committed. And that we have to live in a way that is acceptable to Almighty God. We go to confession. And we confess this or that or the other sin. And how many times the priest hears such a thing as, I confess so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Now, I really and truly knew better, and I just don't know why I did that, but I did it. And I'm sorry because I just don't know why I did it. The question comes up. Am I confessing this sin because I have offended someone that loves me very much, and that I am really contrite because I have offended? and I'm crushed because I have offended. Or am I confessing that sin because of my hurt pride? Because I knew better. It's a good question, isn't it? But these are the things that we must put in the balance when we go to examine our consciences and examine our consciences we must. And how severe are we in the examination of our consciences? Or are we glossing over and putting, you know, every now and then a soul comes into confession, wherever and however, whoever, doesn't matter. And who can say, it has been now several months since I've been to confession, but I really and truly cannot think of a thing I've done in those 7 months. Saints that go to confession or could go to confession every day would have a lot more to say than that. We do not understand love. We do not comprehend love. We do not know how love works. And in our relationship with Almighty God, my beloved people, it's just as the situation is out in the world. We think that Almighty God, in the last analysis, is going to say, well, you were a good little boy, a good little girl. Therefore, I know you knew better, and therefore, I forgive you. Let's look for a moment at the ongoing parable of the two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. And the poor old Pharisee, about the only thing that he could think of on such an occasion as that was how very excellently good he really was. And that everything he did was just right. He was well educated. He'd read all the books. He'd had all the arguments and presented all the debate. Entered all the debates of how to love God, etc., 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 etc. And he proceeded to let God know how much he loved him. He loved him so much that he couldn't help but appreciate the fact that he was better than most people who didn't love him quite as much. As a matter of fact, he loved him a lot more than that poor old wretch in the back of the church, you know. Poor old wretch in the back of the church, all he could say was, please forgive me. That's all he said. Who went home justified? Who was it that Almighty God acknowledged? Who was it that Almighty God forgave? And it goes on and on to Mary Magdalene and the good thief and so on and so on. We know how it all stems on love. And love urges me. I cannot but be urged. I am drawn by this love. And consequently, I simply am not capable. I don't have the strength to violate that love. It is only when I violate that love When I do have the strength to violate that love, it is only then that I can say, I don't really love. I have affection. And the difference between affection and love are miles apart, or from one from the other. So, as we now, a while, the next time I see you, we will be in November. The year is gone. And we will be in the period of remembering the souls in purgatory. And we will be at a time when death is presented to us. So my beloved people, this business of loving God with our whole hearts and minds, this is serious business. And it is not to be tampered with or to be ignored. We say we love God and therefore we want to modify our way of life. How much do we actually, in fact, modify our way of life? If we don't plan to modify our way of life, if we don't plan to abstain from food, if we don't plan to put into practice the change that this way of life demands of us, let us not tell God that we won't do that. It is our determination that He is looking at. We fall, yes. But when we fall by accident in our determination, Almighty God takes that into consideration. But when we fall because we really and truly are not serious, I do not want to go into what some of the saints even have said, because I don't really accept it. Because it is a dangerous thing to accept. And that is that very few souls enter heaven. I do not subscribe to that. But I will subscribe to this, that only those souls will enter heaven who are really serious about their obligations. You cannot do it both ways. You cannot serve two masters. You will either hate the one or love the other, or vice versa. And if we say we love God, then that love must manifest itself, must show itself in everything we do. And in that way, we are acceptable. Any other way, we will not be acceptable. And let me tell you, as in your own lives, or in our own lives, when it is a question of true love, can we offend true love one to the other? Can't do it. It is only when that love becomes cold and begins to cool off that we gradually and gradually and gradually begin to separate ourselves. But when the love is strong within us, we can't offend. We simply cannot offend. It is impossible. So as we again, as I said, approach the day of November, let us prepare ourselves for such a time. And when we say we love God with our whole mind, heart, and soul, then we mean it. And that it is not a matter of putting it on as a cloak, as a costume, at certain times, like on Sunday or certain periods of time in our lives, but it's something that it is constant, never varies. It isn't hot one day and cold the next, hot and cold, off and on. It is constant. So, may God bless you and keep you and preserve you from every harm and danger, now and forever. Amen.